You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the IDP Show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the SoChack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Doing very well, Josh.
Got your coffee, Eddie? You ready to go?
Sure do.
Yes, not before my coffee, Bobbo.
Yeah, put my hair in a messy bun.
Put on some gangster rap and handle it, Addy.
What you got to do sometimes.
That's what you got to do this time of year, especially.
Sure. Hey.
Us parents of multiple kids just got to get that hair in a messy bun.
Absolutely.
And just handle it.
Yeah.
So,
but it's good to be here tonight, boys.
It's good. I was going to ask you what kind of coffee you were rocking.
Oh, just one of those pods.
Just one of the pods.
The K pods. I think it's 8 o'clock variety. Yeah. Whatever one is on sale. That's usually how we go.
The cheapest.
Seriously, who cares?
But you're a creamer boy. So is this what kind of cream?
Sweet cream. Yeah,
sweet cream. Okay.
Yeah, I do like some sweet cream. Creamer.
There you go. Everyone out there is like, that is so gross.
Yeah, pretty good.
So
pretty
basic.
Good. Pretty good. I'd recommend that. If you're into creamers.
Addie's big into the cheapest.
You're big into
K-Pods.
You're big into creamer.
And the sweet cream creamer, Bobbo.
Sure.
So
that's how I get started.
You're a coffee guy, right?
Yes, I am. Big coffee guy.
He doesn't like creamer.
Yeah, you drink it black, right?
He's a real man.
Yeah. I French press, just straight black with a thick crema on top. If you get real good coffee, it almost produces its own cream when you brew it the right way.
See, this now I understand how you feel when I'm talking about Marvel movies I'm like, I don't understand a word you're saying.
So the vanilla, what did you call it? Creamer, the French vanilla, the hazelnut. That's all like the introductory drug. What's it called? The gateway drug.
Gateway drug. Yes.
Correct. So that's how it gets started.
You can't just drink coffee later, black at first.
Later in life, you find yourself buying green beans from Guatemala, getting them mailed to your house, roasting them in a popcorn maker, and producing your own coffee. That's how it all unravels.
I think I'd stick with the cheapest K-Pods.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's coming, Addy.
It's coming. It is coming.
No, I like good coffee. I do say, I have a good friend, shout out Clarity Coffee. He roasts coffee here in Bowling Green, and it's pretty good. It's more light roast. I can't do the light roast. The light roast makes me too jittery. Like, I've got to have, like, a healthy breakfast if I'm going to put a light roast in me. It's just too much caffeine. I am a Starbucks Sumatra lover.
I was going to ask what you thought about Starbucks.
Starbucks is whatever, but that Sumatra, man, I can't get away from it. I've drank it for years. Stuck.
There you go.
Stuck in a rut.
I don't know about it.
I really need a leg up, guys. This is what I came for. I got a problem.
Addie's a Spencer's boy, I think.
Yeah, Spencer's.
Spencer's
is
good.
Local coffee place here in BG.
Very caffeinated. A lot of caffeine in that Spencer's.
Hey, I need it.
Yeah, we need it. We need to handle it.
Sleepy boy.
This is a time also when your fantasy managers out there need to handle it, because playoffs are coming, boys. We got one more week after this one, week 14. Last week of the regular season, we are winding down. Week 13, we're watching the Sunday night game here between the Packers and Chiefs. And very good game. We've had a couple good primetime games so far this week.
Yeah, Thursday was great.
Thursday was awesome. What a fun game that was between the Seahawks and Cowboys. Tonight, Packers-Chiefs has been really fun. Tomorrow night is Jags and
Bengals.
Bengals, so that'll be not great, but at least we're 2 out of 3.
So it would have been fun.
Lost a lot of quarterbacks this year.
Yes. I think they had different plans in mind. It's like
we can flex those coming up.
We've already had our first Monday night flex. So I don't remember who got flexed out, but we have.
They couldn't do this one?
I guess
it was so recent with the Burrow injury, maybe.
Yeah, there's a certain timeline that you have to flex it out. So they may not have had time to get it flexed out after the Burrow injury.
What is y'all's take on, I was listening to a show today and they said, over under chance of the Bills getting into the playoffs and everything. And one of the analysts basically said,
no way.
They said the Bills deserve to be in the playoffs. And I was like, why?
Why do they deserve it?
They said Josh Allen, that offense, they deserve to be in.
That defense is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. So
what about that offense has really been that potent either?
Offense is fine. It's like Stephon above
Diggs
average.
Is cool, but I mean, Kincaid's all right, but that running game's been kind of putrid.
I mean,
Josh Allen has a turn. You know, and the person who said this, I don't even remember now who it was, but they were like, you know, he's got a lot of, he does have a lot of interceptions, but I'm like, you can't paper over it that fast.
It's a big
but. He has a lot of interceptions this year.
And it's, I understand that if your argument is, I want to have the most entertaining quarterbacks in the playoffs, I get that. But to say they deserve it, no. The teams that win the most games deserve to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Bills are one of those teams that can go out and win any game as well. But, yeah, that doesn't mean they deserve it.
They can also lose any game as well.
Yeah.
And they have. They've lost a lot of games they should have won. It just happens. We're going to see a couple big AFC juggernauts not make the playoffs this year. Bengals for a different reason, but Bills, just that defense is putrid. Mm-hmm. They can't stop anybody.
Aaron Rodgers coming back.
No, he said today, not happening.
Really?
I think he just wanted to get out there and practice and show like, oh yeah, look at me running around. Mm. But
get people excited for next season.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm still around. I'm still here.
Did you put that in the Slack about the meat just falling off of the bone?
Yes, I did. I was loving those
on his fifth drop
on those memes on Twitter. Yeah, those with the barbecue that just take the bone and the meat just slides right
his
off.
His Achilles is just crying.
So let's do a week 13 recap, boys. It was kind of a down week for IDP across the board, but definitely some developments we want to talk about. And we got another 40-point score. We've had one just about every week so far this season, boys. And we have the inglorious designation of the Carolina Panthers adding their third 40-point score to the board as far as, like, they were the opponent when this player scored 40 on them. And it is the Carolina Panthers. And weirdly enough, it is the third DB who has scored 40 points against the Carolina Panthers. As Arn put in the notes, start your DBs against the Carolina Panthers because way back in, let's see, it was week number 4, Harrison Smith went for 49 points against the Panthers. In week number 9, Kenny Moore went for 53 points against the Carolina Panthers. And then this week, Antoine Winfield Jr. went for 40.9 points against the Carolina Panthers. Bobo, you're feeling pretty good. We just had a trade in XFFL. Even though you're not going to get the win this week, at least Winfield was a bright spot for you. And he's been awesome since the trade.
You got the win, Field.
Yeah, there you go.
No, Winfield was good. He, the time where we needed him, he shined. Safety's been tough this year. Safety has been hard. Started off the year with Julian Love and have kind of worked through a couple little, I have had Josh Metellus at times. It's just been kind of one of those gross safety years. But no, Antoine Winfield, we were just talking about it before we started the pod. Shout out RSO with the extensions and the franchise tags and all that. It's fun to be in a league like that. I think if our league, XFL, was on Sleeper, it would be a little less fun. The numbers and the extensions and everything make it interesting, make some of the trades like kind of bizarre. But Antoine Winfield's a guy that's going to go back to the pot. We just talked about, I know Adam brought it up a couple weeks ago, how many free agents are coming in this class the next offseason. Yeah, you would like to think that the Bucs retain him, but there's a real world where, maybe they let him walk. They can't afford him. He's been playing great. So it was just not a guy that I could afford to pay $11, $12 million for the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's going to be probably even more this next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably goes. It keeps going up. Yeah. It keeps going up. That's what's cool about that league platform is that every week you can roll the dice and say, well, his number's high. He's coming off a 40-point week. Maybe it'll go down.
He would have been the highest paid safety ahead of, what do we look up?
Jamal Adams.
Was like 11 million.
And you don't want to do that. You don't want to be that guy. But I love Winfield. I've talked about him probably more than any safety this year.
He's a good person to trade. if you didn't need
well,
him.
Well, I didn't want to commit myself to – I could have franchise tagged him, you know, probably for about $8.5 million or so.
Yeah.
But I traded him to Bobo, picked up Minka Fitzpatrick with like a $1.5 million a year.
You're going to lose him.
Last year. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the other side of it that I hated. Losing Minka on like a league minimum deal, which I was kind of tired of Minka, and he'll be great for next year. But this year, you didn't get a whole lot out of him.
Yeah, he's just been hurt.
Yeah, he's been banged up.
So
he started off really good.
There you go. Antoine Winfield Jr. joins the wall. We've had quite a few boys. Looks like probably 20 names here have scored over 40 points.
Sucks in a week to have a safety score of 40 and you're going to get the L. Dude, my offense was great, but shout out Ben. I'm coming for you. Like, literally.
Yeah, coming to Milwaukee to murder you. Yeah, sleep with two eyes open.
You're dead, Ben.
Yeah. So let's go to Thursday Night Football and talk about Seahawks versus Cowboys. This was a very fun game. I watched every minute of this one.
Yeah.
It's do you think the Seahawks make the playoffs?
No.
They're 6-6 now?
I think they are.
They're on the outside looking in, I think.
NFC.
We should pull that up.
Wild card is not that strong. I think they squeak in. I think they play well down the stretch and get in at like, I don't know, maybe 9-8, 10-7,
close.
6-6 right now.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere in there.
So I don't know. I think this is a good team that's just been hot and cold. I kind of look at them like the NFC equivalent of the Bills.
Does Green Bay win in their division?
No.
See, but I could see we just looked
the
at
the Lions will.
The remainder of Green Bay's schedule they could. Is pretty cake.
They could. The Lions have a nice lead though.
Yeah.
And that's a good team.
We did think the Seahawks defense was gonna be a lot better.
Yes, than it's not than it's good. Been.
And they did lose Uchenna really early on, and that's definitely, you know, affected them. But I mean they look pretty bad.
Yeah.
So,
which is weird because they have a lot of good players.
They do.
At every level of the defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, they got torched on Thursday Night Football. They lose 41-35.
And almost every game, it seems.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I mean, they're just getting, I mean, roasted. So, a lot of IDP-relevant players.
They're 8. They're on the bubble right now.
Okay. I think they get in. Because who are the teams that are in it right now in the wild card?
It's the Rams and the Vikings.
Yeah, I see both those teams falling out down the stretch.
And the Cowboys, they're 5.
Well, I see the Vikings falling out because you've got a rookie quarterback, Jaren Hall, is it? And then I could see the NFC West getting 3 teams in.
This time of year, and I know you do this too, Josh, but I always go to what does a quarterback play look like? You know, we got a rookie or we got a vet. We got a Super Bowl winning Matt Stafford. And I'm sure they have some tougher games with probably like the Seahawks and San Fran here down the stretch. But there's a real world where, you know, Stafford could lead them in.
He's one of the better quarterbacks going right now. And that really means something late in the season.
They're 7 right now. Fun. We'll talk about them. But golly.
I could see him sticking around. That's just, it's a team that's overachieved.
Yeah.
Relative to preseason expectations. That always just makes me a little nervous.
Best draft class of any team in the NFL.
That is like a.
With nothing.
One of the best hauls we've seen in the past decade.
Yep.
For a draft class.
And they had their 24 first. Which
do you know
is
who's
hilarious.
The second leading rookie IDP scorer? Right now, I looked this up at dinner. Number one, I think, is pretty obvious. Speaking of Seattle. Savon Witherspoon.
Yes.
Yeah, he's number one. There's actually
the 50 pointer.
There's 4 CBs in the top 11.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But number two
Hold on. Is it Kobe Turner?
No, he's 6th or 7th.
Okay.
It's Byron Young.
Oh, let's
Byron
go.
Young is number 2.
Is
so,
he okay? And this week, I didn't see what he put up.
I don't think he had a sack. I think Kobe had the big week this week.
We'll get to them. They just beat the doors off the Browns. Yeah. So let's talk about Cowboys, Seahawks. Seahawks headline Devin Bush is next in the line of a long list of vomit-inducing names that are injury replacement linebackers this season, with Jordan Brooks suffering an ankle sprain halfway through the second quarter. Devin Bush came in relief of Jordan Brooks, 5.5 points, 2 tackles, and a TFL. The top 3 for the Seahawks was Jaren Reed, 22.55, Reek Wallen, 18 points, Bobby Wagner, 17 points, 100% of snaps for B-Wags, 98% for Wallen, 76% for Jaren Reed, who had 7 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack, and 2 QB hits. Reek Wallen had 8 tackles and 2 PDs, and then Bobby Wagner had 17 tackles and a TFL. Cowboys headline, I love this. Daron Bland got cooked worse than a full Christmas dinner in a toaster oven and still had the balls to jump a route in the third quarter and save his fantasy evening. Daron Bland goes for 17 points. He had been averaging 21.61 the past five games. He had six tackles, a pick, and a PD on 96% of snaps. Jordan Lewis was next, 11.75, three tackles and two PDs. And then Jonathan Hankins, 11.5 points, four tackles, a sack, and a QB hit. Boys, what jumps out to you from Seahawks Cowboys?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jaren Reed, nice to see him have a good game again. He's been kind of quiet as of late. You know, he started off the season kind of strong, but then fizzled. So this was like his biggest game he's had probably in like 8 weeks. So that was nice to see him do well. Jamal Adams, good having him back. He's back to playing 99% of the snaps. He had 10 tackles this week.
Back to clapping back and being an a-hole on Twitter.
I saw that.
Bad week for Prez.
Bad look there, Jamal.
Did you see his follow-up?
He deleted the tweet, right? Or he said he was like, he like stood by it.
Yes, he said, don't start nothing, won't be nothing.
Yeah, but then he deleted the tweet.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Real coward move.
Yeah. Witherspoon had 8 tackles, 12 points, you know. Still.
Boy, he fun.
Still solid. Solid every so single good. Week.
He fun.
He's an auto start, even in DB leagues.
No doubt about it.
He's a baller. He hustles through the ball. He's got great, you know, lineup. He's not the type of cornerback to where other quarterbacks are going to, like, ignore him. You know, it's not like Revis Island or something. The guy is a really, really talented cornerback, man.
He's one of those. And it's interesting. We say, you know, the kind of rule of thumb with rookie cornerbacks is, oh, they're going to get targeted. You should, you know, draft these guys or start these guys in CB-required leagues. I mean, 4 of the top 11 rookie scorers on the year are cornerbacks. Yeah. So, there is something to be said for it this year that these rookie cornerbacks are getting targeted. And they're getting playing time. I think that's the big thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that these first-round drafted cornerbacks, maybe that's something to think about, is it's not so much that they're targeted because they're rookies. They're cornerbacks who are on the field for 100% of snaps.
Right, yeah. That team had a desperate need at cornerback. So, I mean, they're likely going to be a top three corner as soon as they're drafted, right? So they're going to get out there on the field immediately. Boye Mafe has also been really quiet as of late.
Yeah, he has.
So I think, you know, hopefully you sold. I mean, I don't know what to expect long-term from Boye. I don't think Boye is going to be one of these guys that's consistently having these 10-sack seasons.
Nah.
I think it would be it's kind of late now, maybe.
Yeah.
But
I think you'd be selling.
Might be a good off-season sale when people go back to look at the full season stats and say, wow, yeah, 10 sacks last year.
I don't know that I'm selling right now because he's been quiet. I wanted to bring up the snap count. So Devin Bush was 96% of snaps once Jordan Brooks left. So if Brooks is out for a while,
That's
spend some fab on Devin Bush because he's going to be out there. It was back to the two safety look for the Seahawks. Jamal Adams, 99%. Quandre Diggs, 98%. Julian Love, 20%. So to answer the question of, is this a three safety team? Not consistently, at least.
Yeah, not this week.
Let's go to the other side of the ball. Cowboys, y'all, Micah Parsons 101 in IDP, like set it and forget it.
I mean, no, not set
it
and forget
it. In Dynasty, but in redraft, it's been TJ Watt this season.
Yeah. What I mean, but even Nick Bosa's, I think he belongs in the conversation. I was thinking about that today.
Yeah.
Max Crosby belongs, I think. I mean, I think any of those three.
Understand that, like, the overarching metrics, like the PFF numbers and, like, the pressure rate is still great with Micah. But, man, in IDP, we play for points. We don't play for those PFF numbers all the time. And Micah's been relatively quiet for the last little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you look at the way he's built, I mean, he isn't built like some of these other guys. He's not like a 6'4", 6'5", you know.
He doesn't look like Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, Max Crosby.
Yeah, so he's more like a Khalil Mack type, you know. Kind of has to win more with effort and stuff. And so, yeah, I think that it's probably a lot to expect him to have, like, a bunch of 15-plus sack seasons. Yeah. Like, maybe he gets there once or twice in his career. But, like, someone like Nick Bosa, you could see him basically having
– every year.
Yeah, pretty much living in, you know, 15-plus sack territory.
So, Micah's taller than I thought. He's 6'3", but he's only 246.
Yeah, he's a little undersized.
His best comparable player on Player Profiler is actually Roquan Smith. So there's a reason this guy was an off-ball linebacker the first year. We have to keep that in mind, too. Now, I will say I think he's the best defensive player in the NFL.
Well, I mean, and honestly, you got to remember...
You watch the highlights every week of him getting to the quarterback in like 1.8 seconds. It's like nobody else is doing that.
And it was kind of a surprise with him coming in, being moved to the edge. Like, really, he was supposed to be the, you know, like more of like a middle linebacker type. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like the, you know, edge guy that he's... being portrayed now.
So Nick Bosa on Player Profiler, 6'4", 266.
Yeah.
So he's got an inch and 20 pounds.
And maybe for Micah, the age helps. 24.5 versus
that's what it is.
Bosa, 26, Crosby, 26, Garrett, 28, TJ Watt, 29.
And for comparison, Myles Garrett, 6'4", 272.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that. A lot of people saying, well, is Micah Parsons really that good? Yeah. Yes, he is.
He really
is.
He's awesome.
Look back at the log. Yeah. I mean, the dude has monster weeks. Yeah. But yeah, he will occasionally put up a zero.
Yeah.
It happens.
Every edge rusher does.
Everybody does it.
I wanted to bring
cool
up.
All the cool kids do it.
Yeah, all the cool kids are putting up zeros. Speaking of cool kids, Dallas Cowboy linebacker, 69 snaps total. Marquise Bell was at 84%. Damone Clark, 71%. Rashawn Evans, 3 snaps. So it's very clearly Damone Clark and Marquise Bell there. So let's move on to the next game, though, boys. The Sunday slate start off with a banger. Falcons 13, Jets 8. I wish that was not a real score, but it is. Falcons headline, Arnold Ebiketie was back at it again with his 4th sack in his last 5 games and playing an effective second fiddle to, of all players, Bud Dupree, who was the leading scorer this week. For the Falcons, 31.75 points, 7 tackles, 2 TFLs, 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 2 QB hits. Ebiketie had 12.95 points, a tackle, a sack, a forced fumble, and a QB hit. Jesse Bates, there he is once again, 17.75 points. He's been averaging 16.64 the last 5 games. He had 7 tackles, and guess what? An interception and a PD. Nate Landman, back again, 15.75 points. He'd been averaging.
Brandman.
I was just guessing. I was hoping that was the button. 18.16 average the last 5 games. 5 tackles, a TFL, a forced fumble, and a PD. Jets, not much to talk about in this game. The linebackers were both quiet. Quincy Williams had 8 tackles and a TFL for 11 points. CJ Mosley, 5 tackles for 4.25 points. Leading scorers for the Jets, Jermaine Johnson had a nice day, 25.75 points, 4 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack and a half, 3 QB hits. Quentin Jefferson, defensive tackle, 21.2 points, 5 tackles, a TFL, 1.5 sacks, 3 QB hits. And then Quinton Williams, 6 tackles and a forced fumble for 9.5 points. So, again, boys, not a lot to write home about on the Jets side of things, but the Falcons, this team is... at least with Bates and Landman, they got a couple consistently spicy options for IDP.
Yes. Yeah. Nice to see Landman kind of return to form. We'll definitely be interested in what that snap percentage looks like, but I'd imagine it's healthy and over 80%. Bud Dupree, just a great reminder that, you know, you can play the matchup game. This was a fantastic matchup against the Jets. Bud Dupree's been a dude that's been playing tons of snaps this year. Like, he's not played less than 60% of snaps in basically any game this season. So, I mean, just a great volume play, and look what happens. 2 sacks, 7 tackles, 32 points. So, yeah, Jesse Bates, this is his 5th pick of the year. Just what a addition to that Atlanta team. I mean, that's the reason why this team is really in it, I think, because guys like Jesse Bates, dude, I mean, he's had so many impact plays for that defense this year. So,
truly.
What else, though?
Yeah, I mean, Landman, every time I see it, it just makes me sad because I'm like, this could have been Troy Andersen. Like, we could have had this. And We don't. Now, on the Jets side, worried at all about C.J. Mosley, Quincy Williams, or was this just a quiet game?
No, I don't think so. Quincy Williams has definitely been down as of late.
Yeah, 11.4 points per game the last five games. C.J. Mosley, 14.18.
Yeah. They've had bad matchups. They did start off the year red hot, so, I mean, they were definitely due for some regression. But we did mention a lot of times trading away Quincy Williams after that hot start. I mean, he was, like, LB1 after the first, like, 8 weeks. So
I had a title that was, like, he ascended to the throne of, like, LB1 status.
Yeah, and then, yeah, we talked about him on the trade show a lot. I cashed him out for a second-round pick.
Mm. He's the LB2 on his own team, Bobo. That just felt very volatile of, like, this is not something that is probably going to keep up all season.
It was rude. It was rude of y'all.
You know, those two LB teams where both guys are relevant, I don't expect the second banana on his own team to be the LB1 for IDP necessarily. So, I think due for some regression. Now, C.J. Mosley, not worried about C.J. Mosley, are we, Bobo?
I mean, he's getting a little bit older, you know.
Maybe for Dynasty, but for
30, 31.
2023.
Not for 2023, no.
Y'all worried at all about Quinnen?
No, Lord, no.
I mean, the only reason I guess I'm saying are you worried about Quinnen is just from a standpoint of, like, there's a lot of other good young defensive tackles now.
I'm not, like, dropping him in Dynasty. He's not an auto start in redraft anymore for me.
Is there anybody that you're
happy to play the matchup game with defensive tackles?
Anybody kind of that you're looking to maybe move him for plus? You know, you get an Ed Oliver plus. You get a Adebikwe plus. You get a...
Depends on what the plus is. I mean, I'm
not
happy.
Really. Not really.
I'm happy to cash out a defensive tackle for a plus if the plus is nice.
Jalen Carter.
Yeah, Jalen Carter plus a second. Would that be enough for Quinnen?
Yeah. Yeah, if someone's willing to do that, I'd probably do that.
Yeah. But I could turn that into a guy like Jalen plus.
But that's probably like the limit, Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
That's probably the only.
But I do want a little plus, I think, with Jalen Carter.
What's a plus?
Like I'd start with a third.
Yeah. I don't think I'm moving Quinnen for Jalen plus a third.
I bet you a lot of people would. Is Jalen Carter's been a little hurt this year?
Mm-hmm. And is Jalen ever going to get that sort of volume that Quinnen is getting?
Yeah.
That's good
maybe.
Question.
Well, I think so. Once we've seen when Fletcher Cox kind of goes out of games, they give him a very healthy workload.
And
so
Fletcher got hurt last week.
Fletcher
I think
got
too.
Hurt. He's also freaking old as hell.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his snaps are coming. I mean, the fact that we've seen him be like that top defensive tackle there for Philly in year one is impressive, I think.
Yeah, and the sacks just haven't turned up this year. That happens.
Sometimes you have fine. I mean, remember when Quinnen Williams started his career, like, he was frustrating. Like, he was, like, the first few years, like, he didn't have a lot of sacks. Yeah. He doesn't have a lot of sacks this year, but.
He had a lot last year, and that's why we're feeling the sting. This is like, this is why we don't chase sacks, because that's a really unpredictable one year to the next.
But what's encouraging with Quinnen is even without these sacks, he's still been solid. Like, he's still putting up, like, 12 and a half the last five games? Mm-hmm. Like, that's great.
That's great from a D-tackle.
Still getting your tackles.
Yeah.
So let's...
Settle down, you brats.
Hey, sorry. You spoiled brats. let's move to Cardinals-Steelers, though. Cardinals get a very surprising 24-10 victory over the Steelers. Cardinals headline Josh Woods throws his name in the Kaiser White replacement sweepstakes, and Budda Baker reminds us he's still on the team and can be useful from time to time. Top three, Budda Baker, 15 points, 8 tackles, 2 TFLs. Josh Woods, 13.75, 11 tackles and a TFL. And then Dennis the Barbarian Gardeck, 12 points, 2 PDs, 2 QB hits. Steelers, Minka returned from a hamstring injury for the first game since week 8, but all he did was make both himself and Trenton Thompson unusable. And Watt and Highsmith absolutely feasted on tiny little Kyler Murray. Minka Fitzpatrick, 5.75, 5 tackles. But Highsmith, 27 points, 8 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack and a half, 2 QB hits. TJ Watt, 6 tackles, a TFL, half a sack, 1 PD, 2 QB hits, 19.8 points. And then Mykel Walker, 14 points, 10 tackles, and a TFL. Like I said, not much to write home about. On the Cardinals side, I guess you could point to, Eddie, the fact that Budda Baker, 8.15 average the last five games, so he's kind of been stinky. Josh Woods, interesting injury replacement for Kaiser Wood. We mentioned him on the waiver show a couple weeks ago when Kaiser went down. Minka's back. I think that's good. Bobo, you mentioned that safety's been just a mess this year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Highsmith and Watt, good to see Highsmith have a nice game here.
Watt got banged up in this one.
Uh-huh. Daddy, I saw him limping to the sideline. I didn't know if he came back in or not.
So hopefully it's nothing too, you know, too worrisome there.
What is it Johnny always says? He sprained his pinky toe or something like that.
Old brittle bones.
Old glass feet.
Also, Landon Roberts left this game early, mm-hmm. so that's why you saw
Michael Walker glow up.
Mike Walker.
Yeah, everybody left early this week.
But Mark Robinson was the guy that stepped in as the second linebacker. He had seven tackles.
So we're at Michael Walker and Mark Robinson.
Yep.
Part of the season. Not as bad as the Bucks, and who were on the backup of the backup of the backup of the backup.
Right. That's it. And I would say if T.J. Watt misses a whole lot of time, then maybe Nick Herbig gets a little play.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely. Watch that injury status throughout the week.
He had a TFL today, you know.
Me and Josh were talking about that earlier, about if you're out of contention or if you're not going to make the playoffs, go ahead and grab a couple of these guys that you know you can hold on to for next year, like a Nick Herbig, like some of these guys that might have a bigger role in 2024.
I was telling him in XFFL, I went ahead and snagged Yaya Diaby mm-hmm. and B.J. Ojulari, gave him like two-year, $4 million deals just to get some young edge rushers
in the auction. That's Ojulari, an auction deal.
He had some plays mm-hmm. today I saw in that game. So, I mean, yeah, he's like what you see there from him. I mean, wide open depth chart there in Arizona.
That's
so.
The thing is, like, opportunities there.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And if they don't pan out, it's $2 million. I'm not too worried about it.
Two useless teams, though, for IDP right now. Just nothing to rely on out of Arizona, in my opinion. And then the Steelers, I mean, outside of T.J. Watt and even Alex Highsmith has kind of been a dice roll.
He's been
from
very
one
up
to
and
the
down.
Next.
Yeah, how sad is it that we're getting excited about this Buda Baker game?
Exactly.
15 points. Yeah. It used to be what the dude averaged.
No, thanks.
Just Arizona.
You're right, though. He's making business decisions. That boy trying to get him another little paycheck.
He could be a nice buy because he could go get a nice little deal somewhere and have a Jesse Bates-type resurgence.
And play for a freaking good team. Yeah. I mean, that poor guy's been on a bad team for years.
Get him
years.
In Philly, somewhere like that. You know, Buffalo, they need a safety.
CJ Deuce, number two.
Yep.
So let's move to, speaking of CD Deuce, do we ever figure out if CD Deuce is coming back potentially this year?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Out for the year?
Yeah,
that
I looked
sucks,
into that.
Man. Lions get the 33-28 victory over the Saints. Lions headline, Alex Anzalone was unable to go, so we got a proper look at Jack Campbell, and he looked very solid. Lunch pail and all, another quiet game from Aiden Hutchinson, who's only had one sack since week five. Hutchinson, 7.5 points, 9.2 average the last five games, so he's not been good. Two tackles, one TFL, and a QB hit. Top three for the Lions. Brian Branch was just talking about him at dinner tonight. 18.05 points, seven tackles, a pick, a PD. Jack Campbell, 14 points, eight tackles, and two TFLs. And then Romeo Okwara, 12.8 points, two tackles, a TFL, a sack, and a QB hit. I do have the snaps for the Lions linebackers, and unfortunately it is not what we want. Derek Barnes, 84%. Jack Campbell, 79%. Malcolm Rodriguez, 46%. And then Jalen Reeves may have been 30%. So they're just running a lot of guys out there, Bobbo.
Yeah, running over, checking a pulse. All right,
get in there.
We're good.
They're just getting them a lot of Gatorade, a lot of oxygen on the sidelines.
I think that you're exactly right. Well, your dinner conversation was the most important thing to talk about out of Detroit right now. Brian Branch looks pretty awesome. 9.8 points per game. Average over the last 5 weeks, I think, will increase with time, but 18 points this week. In a week where, you know, you're really relying on it. You're trying to make the playoffs. You're trying to get a bye. Brian Branch looks like an elite cornerback.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you want to call him, however you want to deem him. He is very similar to that Devon with him spoon type mentality, to where Brian Branch is so good. He almost gives you a little bit of Antoine Winfield type vibes. He's not as big as Witherspoon, I don't feel like, but man, that dude is an athletic freak, and he just seems to always be around the ball when you actually watch Detroit. So, sure, while the linebacking core and honestly the defensive line there might be a mess in Detroit, Brian Branch is a guy I think we can really rely on in our fantasy playoffs.
Yep, love Brian Branch. Jack Campbell, back to him. Eight tackles, two TFLs, 79% of snaps. That was the second most he's played this season.
Yep.
So he played 90% week seven. So that is nice to see, you know, what kind of we could expect if we saw him with the big workload. So, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, you know, they got a really nice nucleus there in Detroit. Also saw that Bruce Irvin got in on the sack fund today, and he's back in Detroit.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did you see that sack?
It was tight.
It was pretty rough.
I've always liked Bruce Irvin quite a bit.
Yeah.
He kind of seemed like a nice fit there in Detroit. I wouldn't suggest going and getting him, but He'll do stuff like this occasionally.
He almost seemed like the type of guy after that sack to where, like, he pile-drived Derek Carr into the ground.
Yeah.
And it was almost one of those.
That's what got him
hurt. Yeah. He's 36 years old, y'all.
That's crazy.
It was almost one of those ones where they were like, hey, Bruce, you haven't played for a while, but there's this new rule where, like, you can't continue.
You can't wrestling move the quarterback.
It was rough. It was rough for Carr.
It was the same thing. So, yeah, last year he didn't play the first 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's then Seattle picked him up.
Don't call me until like at least October. He's like, preferably December.
Leonard Fournette. He's a vet now.
Yeah. And Detroit picked him up. Looks like his first game was week 11 with them, I think.
Maybe. I didn't even realize he was there. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he could actually get some PT there. Yeah. And that's not a
that defensive line is not great.
I think
especially
that's a
that second. Who is that? Who's their best, second defensive end?
Not quite one of the Arquara bros. Maybe you put them together. You Frankenstein them.
Yeah. Pascal. Yeah, like it's a gross.
Still got some ways.
Let's bring Bruce Irvin in.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
He's 36.
That's
like
a lot.
He's
of
our
the,
age.
That's a lot of the struggle for Aiden. I feel like he's just been on. He's on a
it's true.
Island on his own.
He's just getting all the attention.
It's the meme of the like special operations soldiers lined up against the brick wall with one of them as a clown.
Sure.
Except it's all clowns. Uh-huh. And he's the only guy that actually can do anything.
Yeah.
On the Saints,
a good one, Josh.
Thank
I
you
knew
very
exactly
much.
Really
good. You were tracking with me. Tortellini Sewell, so going over to the Saints side, brother to Panay and Rigatoni Sewell, got the start and did what Werner hasn't done all season long, finishing as the team's top scorer for the week. So congratulations to Nephi Sewell, 14.5 points, 8 tackles, 2 TFLs. Paulson Adebo was next, 13 points, 8 tackles and a PD. And then Zach Bond, 12.8 points, 2 tackles, 1 TFL, 1 sack, and 1 QB hit. So Werner goes out. Tortellini Sewell steps in, does pretty well. Paulson Adebo, 21.14 points per game the last 5 games. So, overall, a down week from the Saints, but kind of interesting to watch what happens with Werner. You may have a usable option here in Nephi Sewell.
Old nephew.
They got to call this guy nephew, right? In the locker room, hopefully.
Yeah, what a weird mix of talent here on this Saints team.
It's true.
I mean, look at Nephi Sewell. Paulson Adebo, Zach Bond, Carl Granderson, Jordan Howden, Isaac Yiadom, Tano Kapasana.
That's good, Addy. Very nice.
It's just a really bad.
Just a real stinky
really
group.
Bad list of boys.
Very bad boys.
You're on a naughty list.
You're getting cold for Christmas. Which camera am I looking at? Who am I scolding? Well, let's move on to the next game here, because there's not much to talk about.
Nothing to do, really, there isn't. Maybe shoot your shot with Sewell if you want him.
I'm not going after Tortellini.
It's not that time of year to where I'm just
shooting
a shot.
I'd rather go after the Bush man.
Yep.
Old Devin Bush. Let's talk about the next game, though.
I had to think about that one.
Who's the Bush man? Texans fall to the Broncos. The Broncos win this game? I thought the Texans won. Texans won this game.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Yeah. Must Aaron. Be 24-21 Texans.
They lost Tank. So did they really win?
They lost. They won the battle, lost the war.
Yeah.
Very sad.
That's not good for a player of his kind of shiftiness. That
fractured fibula
is very necessary.
It just feeds, everyone that was out on him for, he's too small.
Yeah.
They're all feeling real good.
Yeah, it was because he was the lead blocker.
Yeah,
like
it was
a run-up.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are we doing here, guys?
One of the main things that I saw early on with Tank Dell that made me in on him was his punt return stuff. His punt kick return was freaky. One quick shift, and he was just gone. Played ball at Houston.
Yeah.
Man, sorry, Josh.
No, I'm with you. I agree, though. I kind of look for that stuff, those guys that return kicks and stuff. Like they're playmakers, man.
Yep.
When they get the ball in their hands, they know what to do with it. Yep.
Can you make a guy miss?
So, Texan side of things, the linebackers, we got Blake Cashman back up to 100% of snaps. Didn't matter this week because every single linebacker of relevance for the Texans had 6 tackles. So, there you go. Christian Harris, 6 tackles. Denzel Perryman, 6 tackles. Blake Cashman, you guessed it, 6 tackles. Mark of the Beast, staying away from the Houston Texans linebackers. You notice they got the horns in the logo?
Oh my God!
Is D'Amico Ryans the Antichrist? I think these are the questions we need to be asking ourselves. Here's a big answer we had, though. Is Will Anderson good? Yes, Will Anderson is very good. 34.75 points, 5 tackles, 2 TFLs, 2 sacks, 15 sack yards, a PD, 4 QB hits.
Will Anderson or Aiden Hutchinson in Dynasty?
Will Anderson.
I think it's still Aiden for me, but man, Will Anderson looked good today.
Also loved his interview after the game.
Yes, sir.
He a dog. Yep.
Yeah. And he's the type of guy that locker room is going to love him. Uh-huh. Like, he's an energy guy.
Him and Stroud are the faces of that team moving uh-huh. forward. I mean, they hit grand slams with those two picks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, dude. He's going to be so good for a long time.
And you know who else is coming on? Oh, their draft pick from last year that everyone was like, oh, but the Texans feel dumb taking Derek Stingley. Yeah. 29.55 points, his second big game in a row. A tackle, two picks, four PDs. Jonathan Grenard, Bobo.
This is his third big game in a row.
Is it? Yeah, I remember last week for sure. Because I had the same conversation about, let's chill out roasting Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
Jonathan Grenard, 17.2 points, four tackles, a TFL, a sack, and two QB hits. So, yeah. Edge rushers got it done for the Texans, Bobo.
By time. Love that for Grenard. I don't know what the offseason looks like for him. I think he's going to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the Texans maybe letting him just test free agency to go somewhere else. Even though I love Grenard, he's probably a good sale. I don't know that he really has the capability to
produce
for us long
term. See, I think he might be back. I could see him being back with Houston.
Yeah, I could see both ways, honestly. Yeah. I could see him, you know, a little team-friendly type deal.
Yep, I see it.
I don't really know how much money Grenard brings in free agency.
You never know.
We'll see. Just depends on, you know, last couple of years.
He's one of those weird ones. Yeah. We know, like, Josh Allen, if he makes it to the free agent market, is going to get a humongous bag.
Yeah.
But Jonathan Grenard, I mean, yeah, that's one of those. I mean, I think a smart team will snatch him up on a cheap deal if Texans let him get to the open market.
Yeah.
Because I think he could really help an NFL team.
Jonathan Grenard or Montez Sweat moving forward?
Sweat.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to find, like, that line in the
sand?
Dynasty Sand, yes.
That'd be a good name for a podcast, Line in the Dynasty Sand.
You're welcome. Trademark. Yeah. I trademarked it.
Broncos, yeah. You trademark it as soon as you speak it into existence. That's what I've learned.
Boye Mafe, Grenard.
Oh, Grenard.
That was a good one. Is that who you have him next to in your Dynasty ranks?
Hey, where. Byron Young or Grenard?
Oh, boy, you know I love me some Byron Young, as we know. That trade has been...
What trade? What league is this that y'all are talking about? I'm not in this league.
Yeah, by the way, Winfield just...
Yeah, he's been a...
He trumps it.
Yeah,
That was always my call.
Tell me this deal. Tell me this deal. Where is this league?
It was not even one of our leagues. It was a trade show.
It was a trade show. Yeah. Okay. One that me and Evan went over.
Yep.
Okay.
Shout out Ringler.
Okay.
And then old Josh wants to go bring it up on Macri's pod and throw some dirt on us.
It's been back and forth throughout the entire season.
Yeah, but now it's kind of tilting way
so
over to my side.
So you're on Byron Young's side. You're on Antoine Winfield's
I don't remember the ancillary pieces.
Okay, it was...
That's why he was asking me earlier, Byron.
It was Greenlaw and Byron Young for N'Kobe Dean and Antoine Winfield.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's kind of spicy.
Ooh.
Spicy.
Yeah. Spicy. All right, Broncos.
In Dynasty or Redraft?
Dynasty.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It was Dynasty.
I'm definitely taking the, give me the D-line side.
Ooh.
Well, you're a Rams fan. You don't count.
Doesn't count. He had to think about how he's going to shoot that down. Let's talk about the Broncos, though.
It's close, though.
Alex Kingleton has 120 tackles through 12 games. Since week two, he's only had one game with single-digit tackles. Meanwhile, Josie Jewell has had one double-digit tackle game all season. And then PJ Locke balls out with Kareem Jackson, still suspended. I tried to tell you on the waiver episode with Kyle B, go pick up PJ Locke. This was number one pickup of the week.
Sure.
And he played very well. 22.9 points, eight tackles, two TFLs, a sack, and a QB hit. Singleton was number one for the Broncos, 24 points, 12 tackles, a TFL, a sack, and a QB hit. Josie Jewell, just 5.5 points, six tackles, very stinky this year. Jonathan Harris, defensive tackle, was number three for the Broncos, 16.85 points, three tackles, two TFLs, a sack, and a QB hit. Broncos side of things, start Alex Singleton, start PJ Locke for as long as Kareem Jackson is out. Is there anything else we need to talk about from the Denver Broncos?
You wonder, is PJ Locke going to keep that job when Kareem Jackson comes
back?
Then
pretty good.
Yeah. You know?
Because can you roll Kareem Jackson back out there if he's going to get his ass suspended again?
Yeah, really.
He's the Dre Greenlaw of defensive backs.
So
what happens
the
third time, though? I wonder if he gets...
He will get an indefinite suspension.
You don't want to know.
I'm just telling you right now.
Lethal injection.
Goodell comes out and spanks his naked butt. at the draft. The draft, yeah. And now, before we move to the third pick, we have the ceremonial spanking of Kareem Jackson's naked butt.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing. I would. Everyone would tune in for that.
That dude, man,
he can't help himself.
Do you think people would lash out more if they knew that they were going to get spanked by Roger?
I think we'd be seeing a lot of players leading with their head if that was the case.
I would. I'd be out there.
A lot of kinky boys.
Going crazy.
Probably going to have to cut this. No, I think PJ Locke could very well keep this job. And, yes, I think if Kareem Jackson does get suspended again, I think it could be an indefinite suspension. Because it's like, bro, what else do we have to do? Mm-hmm. We fined you. You've lost game checks. You've been suspended like 7 games so far this season, I think.
Yeah, you're 34 years old.
Stop acting like this, Kareem.
Justin Simmons has been really disappointing this year, too. Mm-hmm. Has done really nothing. But, yeah, Josie Jewell's been stinky.
He's been very stinky.
I was trying to think of the opposite of a Jewel.
It's a turd.
Sure. He's got to get...
Did it?
It's Josie Turd. Let's move to a turd of a game, though. Chargers get the 6-0 victory over the Patriots. This is a stink fest. My God. 6-0 Patriots fall to the Chargers. We're going to run through this one pretty quick. Chargers, the studs threw it back to their primes. It all came to play for the first time this season. Well, on defense, at least, anyway. Khalil Mack continues to be in fuego. 32.05 points. 5 tackles, 2 TFLs, 2 sacks, a forced fumble, 2 QB hits. Eric Kendricks, welcome back to relevance, buddy. 23.7 points, 10 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack, and a QB hit. Derwin James, 21.05 points, 9 tackles, a TFL, a sack, and a QB hit. Patriots, Jabril Peppers was caught by NFL Films mic'd up saying to Saquon Barkley at the end of last week's game, "You lucky we asked. We can confirm this luck also applies to the Chargers this week and that the Patriots are indeed ass." J.C. Jackson, Jelani Tavai, Jonathan Jones, the leaders for the Patriots. No one cares about them. Chargers, though, Addy, Khalil Mack, I mean,
wow,
going to be a defensive, an IDP MVP, I think, for some folks.
No doubt. I mean, who's been a better value than Khalil Mack?
Him and Myles Garrett are the reason that I'm leading the IDP Madness League that I'm in right now. Because my linebackers have been awful in there. Yep. And it is Myles Garrett and Khalil Mack saving my season.
Yeah, Khalil Mack brought me all the way back to in the Madness. Unfortunately, Jalen Phillips going out is probably going to kill me.
And if Myles Garrett is hurt, we'll talk about that. He put up a big zero today. So if he's hurt.
Clearly is affected, yes.
Yeah that's going to hurt a lot of Madness squads.
Khalil Mack, 15 sacks on the season, 15. Leading the league.
Wow, Khalil Mack. Yep. Have a day.
Wow. So, insane. I mean, yeah, that is now 6 sacks over his last 3 games. He's red hot. Even without Joey Bosa, does not matter.
Even if you remove the 6-sack game, he still has 9 sacks on the season, which is really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. You don't have to remove the 6-sack game.
That's true. You don't. But 15 minus 6 equals 9.
That's good math.
That's still very good.
That's very good math.
That is still very good.
Off the top of the dome there.
Hey, Bobo, Derwin James had a nice game today.
Yeah, he's a sell.
He is.
I don't
of
know.
Course he's been a sell. He's been a sell. He was a sell at the beginning of the year, though.
This is a peak. This is a peak.
Alohi Gilman, really mass stinky game. The big boys were good. Eric Kendricks, it was nice to see him, you know, return to form.
Finally.
Khalil Mack, you know, business as usual, but, I mean, outside of that,
Khalil Mack, 22.04 points per game average the last 5 games.
That is just crazy.
And I said that TJ Watt had been the number one kind of set it and forget it guy, 20.45 points per game average. So he is almost 2 points better than TJ Watt over the last 5 games.
Going back macro, was there any validity to the Brandon Staley rumor about him losing his job? Did you see that this week?
No, I think it was the rumor was that he needed a miracle to save his job.
Okay.
And I think he's getting fired. Yeah, I think this team stinks. Happen. I think that they're going to miss the playoffs and he is gone.
Oh, also, Kenneth Murray, he's been pretty bad lately.
Yeah, he has.
You know,
I messaged Macri to see if we could get Eric Kendricks' snaps because I'm curious if that snap share has changed at all or if it's still Kenneth Murray leading the way.
Kenneth Murray was 100% the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'd say it's still the same. Kendricks is just playing better.
Yeah, and Murray's just not getting those splash plays at all. Like he had 2 sacks and a pick through the first seven games, and he hasn't had any of that.
Is Deion getting any play?
No.
No, it's just those 2 guys.
So strange.
Yeah, well, you got a weirdo at yeah. head coach yeah, there.
True. Get him out of there. I'm curious to see what the IDPs can do. Mm-hmm. And I think Kendricks, was he a one-year deal? Is he going to be back in the pot?
I feel like it was a two-year.
Yeah. Could be. Okay. Kenneth Murray,
but they
though,
probably have an out. If gone. They want to get rid of Kendricks, they probably
oh, yeah.
They could clean They're house and just have Murray. Dayon and kind of start, because I think they are way over the cap,
Those are going to be the weird things in the offseason to where, like, what does Kenneth Murray get? Like, where does he go? What type of role is he going to play for a team, you know?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably not a not one for a long time.
He's probably going to make less money than he was making on his rookie deal.
The Los Angeles Chargers have negative $44 million in cap space going into next season.
Dang.
Wow.
Negative $44 million. That's the second worst in the league behind the New Orleans Saints, who always do just some cap tomfoolery. They are negative $87 million in cap space.
What?
So, yeah, negative $87
million. So they're at like three...
Yeah, so this is, I believe it is estimating, it assumes a $240.5 million salary cap. So they are literally at, whatever that is, $327 million in salary
for
next
who?
Season. I don't know.
Mike Thomas?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, he signed a big old deal
Cam Jordan's.
Still playing Peyton.
Yeah.
I think they are. I think they still are paying some of those.
Drew
like,
Brees.
Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
You can look at the dead cap. Gave him a lot of money.
Jeez,
yeah, that team is that team is screwed.
What about
the bill's going to come due, and it's going to be like starting. You know, it's going to be Adam Markham at quarterback and John Macri at left tackle.
Adam's out there just spearing everybody, trying to get that.
Like Kareem Jackson trying to get his butt spanked during the draft.
Hey, real quick, Staley's also ruining Justin Herbert. Herbert's been unplayable in offensive fantasy this year.
Well, and here's what's weird. Kellen Moore came out as the second leading candidate for the Carolina Panthers head coaching job.
Yeah.
What is the Cowboys are having their best offensive season in a decade with him out the door. And you have the Chargers who are putrid this year. So why is Kellen Moore getting this glow up? Do we still believe he's some sort of boy genius? I don't get it.
I mean, Austin Eckler's pretty old. Mike Williams did the Mike Williams thing where he jumped 18 feet in the air and came down on his
Quentin
shoulder.
Johnston
in week two.
Is so bad.
QJ's awful.
He is so bad.
So you've got Jalen Guyton and no Josh Palmer. I mean, you're relying on 32-year-old Keenan Allen for 18 for 40 yards every week.
Who does Mahomes have outside of Kelsey?
Nobody.
That's
and they
the
just
thing.
Lost tonight, though.
That's the thing. Is like
they've been kind of
good
been
quarterbacks.
Been
elevate.
Bad.
I don't know. I think he is a supremely talented physical tools quarterback. I don't know that he's one of those that elevates everything around him.
But you got to think this offseason, Mahomes goes into Andy Reid's office or whatever, has a conversation like, look, I get what you're doing. I know y'all pay me a lot of money, but you got to get me
You
got to
get me some weapons.
You got to get me one receiver. You should have brought in a DeAndre Hopkins. You should have brought in one of these older vets that, you know.
Why did they not go get him?
I don't know. They said it was a money thing. They wanted Chris Jones more, but anyways.
Chris Jones got him a sack tonight. We'll get there, I guess.
Yeah.
Addison would have looked real nice there.
Yes, sir.
L.A.
He sure would have.
Who did the Chiefs take in round one this year? Did they have a first? Yeah, they would have been the last pick of the draft,
Oh,
right?
They took FAU, who was not.
Yeah, done nothing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow, he has done nothing. I was thinking about that with Dayon. Like, man, the rookie IDPs this year outside of our defensive backs have been bad.
Henley, Sanders.
It's because the linebackers have
Dorian
done nothing.
Dorian.
Yeah, they've done nothing.
Overshown. He might have gotten an op.
He definitely would have gotten a chance.
Yeah.
In this, because you got Marquise Bell and Damone Clark.
Drew Sanders played?
No.
No. That's the thing. I usually would recommend stashing rookie linebackers, and I still think some of them have a path to snaps, but, man, like, it's pure speculation.
And it's scary that, like, those guys don't have the highest capital. Yeah. You know, they're third-round picks, all those guys.
Except for Campbell.
They could easily get replaced, you know, in free agency or in this next draft, you know.
I'm holding my breath if I'm stashing those guys.
It's scary. It's definitely scary times. It reminds you a lot of, like, Asamoah. It just can go any which way. But you will probably those guys will definitely have a value tick up this offseason, but it's going to be early in the offseason.
I would probably look to sell.
Maybe
if you
so.
Can cash out on some of these guys.
On
especially,
the majority.
Yeah. Like, I think Sanders, I'm not as worried about Drew Sanders because you could see a path, but, like, Dorian got his chance and got replaced by Tyrell Dodson. Like, Dayon can't get on the field. I mean, I don't know. It's just dicey, especially
Ivan Pace
without the capital.
Is Ivan like
Pace.
Probably
Ivan Pace
should sell.
Is is probably the best. Is he the best rookie linebacker? Would you put him above Jack Campbell at this point?
Yes, from a playing time perspective, absolutely.
It's tough, right?
I mean
that's the conversation we're having. Yeah. Ivan Pace versus Jack Campbell. But let's move to Dolphins. Just absolutely creaming the Commanders. This is just yes, one of the worst teams in the NFL. Ron Rivera, great man. Truly is one of the, you know, just an awesome dude. You see these kind of like Hard Knocks or Amazon Prime series. Like, this is a really good person, just not fit to be a head coach anymore. And I think he's going to be out the door.
And players walking all over him.
Yeah, just what do they call it?
Taking Black advantage Monday, of him.
Where the coaches all get fired. So, yeah, I just think it's over. It's Jover for Ron Rivera, but a good run there. Dolphins, though, keep rolling. 45-15 win over the Commanders. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Nope, it's AVG, leaping tall buildings in a single bound, proving once again without Jalen Phillips that he is indeed Superman. And then knock-knock, who's there? Another startable linebacker as Jerome Baker left the game with injury and Duke Riley stepped in. 11.5 points, 8 tackles, and a forced fumble. But Van Ginkle, we talked about him. He was me and Kyle's priority add at the defensive line position, and he delivered for IDP. 33.05 points, 5 tackles, a pick, a defensive touchdown, 2 PDs, 2 QB hits, 33 return yards. That hair just flowing in the wind.
Love to see it. Also, speaking of hair, Duke Riley also has some long hair. So
does he have some lettuce?
He should definitely be on your radar. But
lettuce,
yeah,
bros.
AVG, I mean, also should have had a sack. Like, he was the one that, like, stood up sack Howell. And it sounded like they called the whistle, like it was a dead play because, like, all forward progress was stopped. But then he kind of got loose, and Bradley Chubb and someone else cleaned it up, and AVG didn't get any credit for any of the sacks.
Nothing?
Nothing.
That should be a sack.
Should be at least a half sack.
Yeah. At least.
At least.
I'll see. So AVG should have more points.
So we are angry about that, but, I mean, good Lord, what a game. 5 tackles, a pick six.
Yep.
2 PDs, 2 QB hits, 90.1 overall PFF grade. I mean, this is just a plug-and-play guy whenever Jalen Phillips isn't in there, so... Mm. Love to see it. I definitely picked him up and started him in my RSO league.
Yep.
You guys, I mean, absolutely crushed the waiver show. Kyle B week, what a success.
Yep. Yeah.
PJ Locke, Andrew Van Ginkle. I think those are your top two suggestions.
They were
goated.
One guy had 20 points this week. This one had 33. So
pretty good.
LFG.
Best waiver LFG. Show out there.
Yeah, truly.
Really?
Number one.
Yeah.
Changed my mind on that one.
Yeah, change it.
I don't think you can. Zach Sealer was also good, though. Defensive tackle, 19.05 points, 4 tackles, a TFL, sack and a half, and 2 QB hits. Emmanuel Ogba, Kyle mentioned him as well, I think it was, that he would get some more run potentially. Or maybe you mentioned it, Addy. Someone mentioned it recently that Emmanuel Ogba would be getting some more run just because Jalen Phillips is out. So Ogba did. Get some run, 14.6 points, 2 tackles, a sack, a TFL, and 2 QB hits. On the Commander side, it was another good game for Jamin Davis, and Cody Barton was passable. The rest of the defense didn't do much because they spent all game chasing Tyreek Hill and Devon Achane to no avail. Jamin Davis, 18.5 points, 8 tackles, 2 TFLs, a PD. Cody Barton, 10.75 on 11 tackles. And then Jatavius Martin, 10.75, 7 tackles, and a TFL. Any takeaways on your side, Bobbo? Dolphins or Commanders?
No Cam Curl up here.
Yep, pretty disappointing.
That's a pin to something to kind of put a pin in for playoffs. I don't know how much we're really going to rely on him the next couple weeks. Uh-oh, Addy's winking.
Well, he did shout out that Cam Curl had been averaging like 8.4 points recently.
This is going to bring that down.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was off the podium, and Jatavius Martin was number 3 at 10.75.
That's what I was going to say. Jatavius Martin, nice to see him actually produce and get 7 tackles in this game. Mm-hmm. This was their second-round pick in this past draft, so he's someone that really hadn't been getting playing time at all, but he's starting to see that uptick. He played 69% of snaps last week, and then I'd imagine this week he got – around that or maybe even more so.
It's kind of interesting, too, with Sweat and Chase Young being gone, how Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen really have been kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Not done really anything. Doing a whole lot. And then the ones that replaced Sweat and Young haven't been usable either. Casey Tuhill and I don't even remember the other one.
They just ruined that team.
They just ruined it. It's like, maybe trading off your two best players was not the best strategy. Because have they won a game since that trade? I don't think they have.
No, but the question is Sam Howell that guy? I think that's been answered.
Yeah.
You're not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
You're not that guy.
Terry McLaurin with a 0 today.
Did you see his quote after the game? He said, just doing a bunch of cardio out there.
Really?
Yeah.
So dude, and I love McLaurin. He's a good dude.
Feel bad for
good
him.
Good dude.
Yeah.
No, he's had, boy.
Good fella.
He's had a run of awful quarterbacks.
He's the Buda Baker of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Just a lot of trash thrown on the ball.
I guess Arizona was there decent for a while, maybe when Kyler was healthy.
Yeah.
They were in the playoffs, but not good.
Yeah. Next up here, let's move to the next game. Hey, this was actually a good game. That game was not a good game. This one was. Colts get the 31-28 victory over the Titans. Sorry, Tennessee, we are still your daddy. 2-0 against Tennessee this year.
Well, them fight words.
Tighten
up! Hate to see it. I do think the Titans have a quarterback in Will Levis, though. I think that dude's going to be pretty good. But the Colts were better today, and Ebukam and Pay were a big reason why. They combined for 12 tackles, 4 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles. They must have heard Josh say last week they weren't bona fide stars. I did say that. Brown must be here because, great Scott, look who it is. Finally, after 13 weeks, it is Nick Cross, 14.75 points, 5 tackles, a punt block, and a PD. They blocked 2 punts back-to-back, broke the punter's leg, and had to have the kicker punting the rest of the game.
Wow.
It was an insane game. They had, you will never, I promise you, watch football the rest of your life. You will never see this sequence again. They had a blocked punt touchdown, and then an interception on the 2-point conversion that was returned for 2 points.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You will never, ever see that again. I promise you. It was absolutely insane. So, yes, the Colts had a lot of fluky things happen, a lot of 2 punts blocked back to back. The Titans miss an extra point that sent the game into overtime. It should have been 26-25, but we go into overtime 25-25. So just a wild-ass game.
I think I had DraftKings little prop bet on that.
Did you?
A block kick for a touchdown and then an extra 2 points.
You did. You're a millionaire. Check. You're a millionaire now. Top
put
3
five on that.
For the Colts was...
I got 5 on
thank you, Addy. I was thinking about that same song. Top 3 for the Colts. Samson Ebukam, 28.5 points, 6 tackles, a TFL, 2 sacks, 1 DD. What is a DD?
Yeah,
is
that it's a designated driver.
I was going to say, right. We need good one guy of those for Adam tonight.
Very responsive. That's water tonight. That's water and coffee.
Yeah. 2 QB hits. I don't know what a DD is. defensive
domination.
Defensive dong. Was he dropping some dong? Kwity Paye, 26 points, 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 15 sack yards, and 2 forced fumbles. And then DeForest Buckner, 18.5 points, 6 tackles, half a sack, PD, 3 QB hits. This was just a great matchup.
A rookie quarterback.
Titans offensive line is absolute booty cheeks, and Will Levis is a rookie. And I think he's going to be good, but right now, he's still a rookie. Mm-hmm. So this is, don't get false hope, though, folks. Don't be like, oh, Kwity Paye, Samson Ebukam, let's plug these guys back in.
Yep.
They can be a good matchup play. Don't trust it. Just don't trust it.
Yep.
Ebukam's been great, but it just tends to rotate.
There was a little comment I saw today about how much better of a linebacker EJ Speed was than Zaire Franklin. What is your take on that?
No.
I don't know. I mean, Zaire's definitely going to be one of these guys that lights up the box score and, you know, the tackle monster.
Mm-hmm. Zaire's been great this season.
Yeah.
He is the heart and soul of that defense. And EJ Speed is a great second banana.
I think there's validity to both thoughts there.
EJ Speed was good enough to force Shaq Leonard out the door. So I think that speaks for something. But no, Zaire Franklin's the best linebacker on that team.
But I mean, you know how fast this stuff changes, though. Yeah. I mean, we were saying the same stuff about Shaq Leonard 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say Speed can't be the next Zaire Franklin?
Yeah.
That's possible as well.
Speed's already like 28, 29, though, I think. Like,
is he old as hell?
He actually is. Like, people act like this is like his second year in the league, and he's been around. He's just kind of like a...
I think he's 27. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
We also, if anybody would like to send us a signed jersey, we would like to replace the Shaq Leonard.
Yeah, maybe Zaire Franklin or something.
That was back when he was Darius, right?
Zaire and EJ are both still there. So next year, I don't think I think we'll see them run it back. They may add linebacker in the draft.
Man, that's
I could
fun.
See that.
That's going to be fun to see their ADP in these best balls for next year.
Boy, Zaire might be.
Zaire was really high with Shaq this year.
He was high even this year, though.
Yeah.
Zaire was one I didn't understand.
Will he be 3?
Ooh, baby.
That's spicy. I was going to say top 5.
Roquan going to be top 3 for y'all next
probably
year?
Probably still.
Yeah.
Just because it's Roquan, you know. He's having a down year, but that's going to look like, what, LB12 for him or something?
He's very much kind of taking a different role there in Baltimore. He's more of a leader. He's a leader of that defense. He's not necessarily the IDP producer that he was in Chicago.
Patrick Queen's gone next year, probably.
Exactly.
So, I mean, what about where does TJ Edwards slot into this?
He's up there too.
I mean, he's the tackle leader, but at least before this week he was.
I think it's still going to be Roquan, Foye, yes, 1 and 2.
Nick absolutely. Bolton, number 3.
I don't know about that.
I think that'll correct itself.
Maybe Tranquil at 3.
He's coming back. Oh, not tonight. Yeah, not after what he done to me.
No. He'll be back.
It may be the bus climber, Leo Chenal at 3.
Could be.
Chenal didn't get a ton of play tonight, I don't think. I think it was
he hasn't really been.
Kyle Cochran, or yeah. That's not it. He went to Greenwood.
Johnny Cochran.
Something Cochran.
That's it.
Anyways, Kyle he wasn't Cochran that good.
Went to Greenwood.
Hope you're doing well, Kyle.
Yeah. Do well, Kyle.
Sorry, I'm good. Old, guys.
Be well.
But anyways, if you had a jersey to pick, who would you pick to replace Shaq Leonard? IDP. IDP.
That's a great
IDP
question. I'm going to have to pray on that one. I'll get back to
you know who
that
I'd
episode.
Pick.
No.
Jalen?
The boy Jalen.
Jalen, that's okay. A good one.
No. But I guess now the injury, we can't pick Jalen. Right.
Can't do it.
Okay. Yes, you can.
I know who you're going to say.
That's a rule. That's
I know
a
who
rule.
You're going
to
say.
So he has to be playing. That's fair.
I know who you're going to say.
Well, he has to be playing. I was going to say Chauncey Gardner-Johnson would be a fun one to have.
I was going
to
say playing. Winfield Jr. would be good.
That would be good.
That'd be sick.
Yep.
Witherspoon would be good.
Witherspoon would be great.
That would be really nice.
That'd be really nice. Because probably don't have to pay a lot for
who
that
would we all agree on?
Babo, this is one of those where you're putting us on the spot, and I feel...
Who would we all agree on? Just looking deep in each other's eyes. Who would we agree on?
We're friends, right?
Getting a little hot under the collar. I don't know. Who?
I feel like we'd agree on pretty much anybody.
Yeah.
I mean...
Who are you thinking of?
I'm just trying to think of the IDP show baby this year. If you had to go to one go-to that we've all kind of
EJ
been...
EJ Speed,
maybe.
Baby.
Maybe it is EJ Speed. No, maybe that's true. What we're
we
all
can't
looking
put EJ
at.
Speed on the
I
wall.
Mean, Khalil Mack could be up there for me.
No, not Khalil Mack. He's too old.
You dropped him.
We need a guy that's Bobby. Got a ascending. Yeah, that's true. I dropped him.
Who are you talking about? You're really.
I don't know.
You don't have a name in mind?
I think no. Will Anderson would be a good one. That'd be
ooh,
one that would
yes.
stick around for a
I
while.
I was a Colts fan if I could put a Texans on the wall, but
yeah. See, that's why we all can't
Parsons?
Come together on one. No,
Max. Max would be good.
Max would be good.
Silver and black would look really good. Yeah. Linebacker wise, I mean, who would be the sexy linebacker you want on the wall?
Roquan.
Roquan would be sick. Those black jerseys.
Yeah.
That would look pretty good. Hey, let us know in the comments. Who do you
Fred
want
Warner.
Us to put on the wall?
Fred Warner would be
ooh,
good.
Ooh, Fred
that
Warner
might
would
be
good.
The one.
Yeah.
That's the original show, baby.
Yeah.
But that's peak.
Age very well.
That's peak wine season right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, right. And that's going to stick. That's going to be a legend forever.
Yeah.
Like,
how many more years we got of Fred?
We ain't got to worry about Fred getting cut next offseason.
We got 4 or 5 more years of Fred.
Yeah,
that'd be good. We need wall security.
That's it.
We need wall security.
Y'all think Fred's going to age well in Dynasty?
I've heard that, but...
He's never been LB1.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is he LB1 this year?
I think he is.
We'll have to look into that.
That's strange.
I have to investigate
it's
further.
Easy to be when Dre gets kicked out all these games.
I'm going to have to do my own research on that one, I think.
Hey, ooh. Change my mind.
I don't think I can. Let's move to Titans. Jack Gibbons had a great game after not reaching 7 points since week 8. Don't fall for it. Harold Landry continues his march to pre-injury form with another half a sack. And Danico Autry is still old, reliable. Your choice if you want to focus on the old or the reliable part.
I don't like that, Aaron. Danico Autry's been great, and he ain't that old.
I called him out on the waiver show. I said, I'm not going to go for the Colts catnip, which if you did, good for you. But Danico Autry, this is a revenge game narrative. Go back and look at the logs. Every time yes. Danico Autry plays the Indianapolis Colts, he legitimately does not like the Colts organization for letting him hit free agency. So he took it out on us today. 4 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble, a PD, and a QB hit. 19.8 points. He was number 2. Azeez Al-Shaair, 20 points, 12 tackles, a sack, and a QB hit. And then Jack Gibbons, 18.25, 13 tackles, and a PD.
You know, I was thinking about this today. A lot of the injuries that we were worried about this offseason have been fine. Harold Landry has come around and has been a good IDP for us. Rashawn Gary looks awesome. I know he hasn't put up every single week the stats that we're probably hoping for.
He's
but from a pressure perspective, Rashawn Gary looks like a maniac. And then Jordan Brooks, I know he's hurt now, but Jordan Brooks was somebody
that was fine.
We told everybody not to draft, and you know, we were made to look like fools, but Jordan Brooks was really, really good. There's somebody else I feel like that was like a big ACL I don't know. Maybe I'm missing somebody. But anyways, Harold Landry's been great.
Yeah, he has. It's good to have him back. Another guy that's helped the Madness squad a little bit. Because, again, my linebackers in there were Denzel Perryman and Devondre Campbell. So, thankfully, we had a lot of dual Desi guys that have been able to slot into those spots.
Man, I got kind of I got kind of hurt today. I didn't think Devondre was going to play. I thought he was hurt. So I started Isaiah McDuffie. He didn't get a whole lot of time tonight.
Wait, did Devondre actually play?
Devondre and Quay both played. I didn't get to watch a lot of this
game. Well, there you go. Yeah, we'll get to them here at the end. Let's move to the next game, though. Buccaneers get the 21-18 victory over the Panthers. Buccaneers, if you needed any more proof, linebackers are streamable and don't really matter. The backup to the backup of the backup just scored 19 points after not playing a down since the last week of the preseason. Or maybe it's just because it's the Carolina Panthers. Yep. Antoine Winfield joins an elite group of players. Winfield had 40.9 points, 8 tackles, 2 TFLs, a pick, a sack, 3 PDs, a QB hit. He's just so good. Yeah. Is he safety one now at this point after the season?
Gotta be.
Dynasty?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Kaham. He's very young, but yes, I mean, I think it's him or Winfield.
I think you have to slant it a little bit towards proven production.
Yeah, I think right? so.
Winfield is 25.
Done nothing but produce.
Kaham's 22. Derwin is 27.
Yeah,
I think Winfield might have snatched the crown from Derwin.
I think so too.
He's just been so good.
I love Brian Branch right there. Safety 4 for Adam. 22.1 years old.
Where do you have Jordan Battle? He's one that I kind of am intrigued by because I was talking to a friend tonight. Like he was
safety 8.
Yeah. Which rookies have been good? I said, well, Jordan Battle won a job in the season, you know, whereas some of these guys come in because of injury.
Yeah.
Battle just outright won the job. Yeah. So that really, I like that a lot.
Yeah. He's way up there for me.
But then, yeah, JJ Russell was the linebacker who came in because Savassier Dennis, Levante David, Devin Bush, all out. KJ Britt, I believe, was the replacement. He went out, so it was JJ Russell, 19.15 points, 7 tackles, a TFL, a sack, and a QB hit. Yaya Diaby had a nice little game, 11 points, 6 tackles, and a sack. Panther side of things, Yetur Gross-Matos, so they got back Yeats, they got back J.C. Horn, and they got back Jeremy Chinn in this game. So Brian Burns gets tossed. I don't know. What did he get ejected for? Was he jawing with the ref, or did he take something a swing like at somebody?
There's a lot of swinging going on.
I know. Yeah. A lot of people were very upset today.
Yeah. At
Thanksgiving. You know, it's a weird time.
It is a stressful time of year.
Yes.
Yeah. See your family. It's, you know, sometimes you just got a little, you know, little strife.
Right.
You got to get it out.
You got to take it out on a referee or a head of security.
Some people can't play golf. You know,
that is frustrating.
It's a lot of darkness, literally and figuratively.
That is the part of this year where it's just like, it's okay, 4 o'clock. This is cool. This is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cold. It's dark.
Yeah,
kind of like our hearts.
You know, you go, you can play with the kids for a little while and eat dinner. It's like, all right, I'm about ready to go to bed.
It is 6 p.m.
It's 6:15, yeah. Dad.
Yeah.
I don't care. Get in bed.
That's the best. It's like, I'm ready for dinner, babe. She's like, it's 4:30. I'm like, oh, my God, really? We got to wait another, like, hour and a half, 2 hours for dinner?
That's why people gain weight over winter, just because
they're eating more.
What are we doing? What else do you have to do?
Eat and drink, and that's really it.
Starting dinner at 4:30, 4:45.
Anyways, happy holidays, everyone.
Golden Corral, get that special.
That's gone, Bobo. Sure. You know that. Yetur Gross-Matos returned from injury. Brian Burns got out. So, of course, it was Marquise Haynes putting up solid numbers on the D-line. You'd love more than 13.75 points from Luvu, but it's better than the 2 points he gave you last week. So Brian Burns, just a point and a quarter. Like Adam said, he's just frustrated. He wants to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Marquise Haynes, 21.55, 7 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack, and a QB hit. Frankie Luvu, 13.75, 7 tackles, a TFL, and a PD. Xavier Woods, 12.45, 3 tackles, a pick, and a PD. Not a lot from the Panthers, boys. Frankie Luvu, end of list.
Yes.
Is there anyone else that we want to plug into our lineups?
I mean, Brian Burns. He'll be fine.
I'm a little worried about Burns the rest of season.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like,
he had a 20-burger like last week, didn't he?
Was that his best game of the season? You know?
It's one of them.
He's just stunk. He's just kind of stunk this year.
I think Brian Burns is a nice trade for target right now. I think going into this offseason, he's going to be in a way better situation. He's going to have more motivation.
I could see the Rams, if they have the cap space going after this guy.
I can see a lot of
trying to trade for him.
The amount of rumors that came out this season with a lot of teams saying that they inquired about Brian Burns, that goes to show you that a lot of people, a lot of good GMs know how good he is.
A lot of text messages and calls were going out from his agent's telephone to other GMs.
Yeah.
Remember
call.
Remember that it was that rumor that was like two firsts.
For the Rams, I think.
The Rams.
Should have done it. Yeah. Should have done it.
I don't know what firsts those were, though, because we didn't.
25, I think.
Well, I guess we do have a 24, so it'd be a 24 and a 25.
25. That was really dumb. The Rams, showing how well they drafted this year. Hold on to those first, man.
Yes.
Hold on to those first.
I don't know. You get a guy like Brian Burns at peak season.
That would have been pretty nice.
I'd love that.
So let's move to the next game. 49ers.
Ooh, Brian Burns and Aaron Donald.
Whopped.
Sweaty.
The Eagles, 42-19. Yeah, San Fran dominated the game. It's not ideal, but don't be worrying about your usual weekly 49ers starters because of it. We've talked about this all season. These wonky games just have wonky results. Former wasted first-round pick Javon Kinlaw picked up his first sack since his rookie year in 2020. 26.4 points, 4 tackles, 2 TFLs, 2 sacks, 2 QB hits. Charvarius Ward has been very good for a cornerback. 21.75 points, 15.45 average the last 5 games. Ambry Thomas, cornerback, 19.5 points, 6 tackles, 3 PDs. Eagles, blowouts can sometimes affect IDPs on both sides of the field, and that was the case here. The Niners were super efficient and clean in their execution, meaning chances for big plays for the Eagles' defenders were few and far between. Fletcher Cox, 15.7, 2 tackles, 2 TFLs, a sack, and a QB hit. Hassan Reddick, 13.95. He's averaged about 13.53 the last 5 games, 3 tackles, a TFL, a sack, and a QB hit. Christian Ellis, 9.5 points, 6 tackles, and a TFL. Bobo, just not a lot to talk about in this game because it was a blowout, and I don't really want to trust the results. Am I worried about Fred or Nick Bosa or any of these guys? No.
You know, the hard part about the Eagles is that there's not much to rely on there. Fletcher Cox has been hurt, and then we can't really rely on Jordan Davis or Jalen Carter at this point. The defensive backs, Kevin Byard has actually been pretty good there for a midseason acquisition from the Titans. Kevin Byard has actually been a safety one over the last couple weeks, tackle per game leader
going into this game, wasn't he, Addy? 8.4 tackles per game, I think you said.
Yeah, this was maybe his worst game of the season.
So, like, from here moving forward, I'm really not trusting Josh Sweat that much unless it's like a pretty good situation. You got a bad quarterback who's, you know, going in to see a sack howl or something. I started Josh Sweat, but I will say Hassan Reddick is a must start every single week. Probably as is Kevin Byard, but those are probably the only two that I feel very comfortable starting the next couple weeks.
I feel pretty good about Reed Blankenship.
Yeah. Reed Blankenship too.
Yeah. He's been good this year. I mean, Blankenship's had 4 20-point games this season.
What did he do this week? Was he down as well?
6.75, but he had 7 tackles. That's he has had 7 tackles, at least 7 tackles in every single... No, I'm sorry. He had 5 in week 6. But outside of week 6, every single game he's had at least 7 tackles.
That sounds like a good IDP bet right there.
That's very nice.
Speaking of, we had a great episode of IDP Bets this past week with you, Johnny, and Mike Wollert of 4 for 4.
Yeah.
I think Mike went like 5 for 6 on his bets. Wow. And it was just a good week.
He crushed it.
The only one that missed was Cam Curl.
I'm like 2 or 3 right now, but I have Josh Allen tomorrow.
Yep.
Let's go.
That's happening.
Aaron Donald, I had him at a 0.75. He got a half a sack.
So close. But
yeah, we had a good week. I'd say we probably were batting like 700. Yeah. You know, so that's all you can ask for.
And thank y'all for tuning into that show. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing it a lot during the actual NFL playoffs because there's not much IDP to talk about. So we're going to give you some fun bets for the playoffs.
Yeah. Even if you don't gamble, you know, we're just giving you these really nice nugs with these players.
Even if you don't, if gambling is not legal in your state for sports betting, this is good information for making decisions outside of betting, whether it's, you know, you know, redraft.
Yeah, we go through our process.
Dynasty.
You can kind of, you know, use it as like weekly what to look for, you know, as far as matchups.
It will make your
trends,
game viewing experience for the playoffs more. It will enrich that experience because you're like, oh, this guy's been playing really well. Let me watch for this guy.
Yep.
So check it out, Bobo, even if you don't bet.
It's great.
Check it out.
It's great.
And if you do bet, definitely check it out because you may win some money.
Sure.
But let's...
Some people are saying it's the best IDP prop show of all time.
Wow.
I mean, I would try to change your mind on that, but...
You're not going to.
I'm not going to.
Wish we had the Nick Saban drop. We do, don't we?
It's somewhere in the
archives. Quit asking?
Yeah. Though we did have that at one point. I have a whole folder of
all the drops. Not going to. So quit asking.
Yes, we did have that. So last game here, Bobo, why don't you talk us through this one?
Sure.
While I go through the drops and see if we do have that Nick Saban one.
Yeah, well, Aaron says here that we warned you about JOK and hoped you listened. What we didn't realize is apparently we needed to warn you about the rest of the defense. Myles Garrett was removed from the injury report on Saturday, but a big donut might indicate the shoulder is still giving him some grief. Well written there, Aaron. JOK this week, 5 points after averaging 15.17 over the last five games. He has an 83.7 PFF grade. Miles Garrett with a 0.00 week for you in week 14. He had a 3 Fitbit step challenge milestone for this week, which I don't really understand what that means, but I'm sure it's great. Top 3 for the Browns, Martin Emerson, 10.75. Khalif Halasi, cornerback.
Who are these people?
8.75 points. And then Juan Thornhill, 7.75 points for the Browns. But let's talk about the Rams real quick. Let's just go ahead and hit both sides, and then we'll talk about the game. John Johnson leaned into the revenge narrative. I disagree with that because he was a Ram before he was a Brown there, Arn. With his whole being, putting up his best fantasy performance since Week 15 in 2022. Kobe Turner is making sure that Byron Young isn't the only rookie getting noticed on the LA defense. However, they are good enough to generate their own stats if Donald hangs it up at the end of the season. He's definitely not going to, Arn, so I wish you would quit with this whole narrative here. Not a fan of it. John Johnson, 23.2 points, mostly aided by the interception, but he also had 6 tackles and 2 PDs, not DDs. Kobe Turner, defensive lineman, defensive tackle, really, 20.1 points this week. He is averaging 13.34 over the last 5 games. 5 tackles, 1 TFL, and 1.5 sacks this week. And then to finish it all off for the top 3 for the Rams, the GOAT, Aaron Donald, 16.3 points, 13.17 over the last 5, 1 tackle, 5 tackles, 1 TFL, and 1.5 sack. They kept Adam from getting a little bit of money.
Come on now, Donald. You couldn't get the full sack?
Yeah.
3 QB hits, yeah, as well for Aaron Donald. Not literally nothing at all to talk about on the Browns side of things.
Yeah.
Martin Emerson. Emerson Biggins.
What?
Just wanted to say that. Emerson Biggins.
I don't know what that is.
Huh.
Emerson Biggins.
It's just a saying.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
I got it. I got it.
Now we're getting there.
Yes.
How's it going, Addy? Very nice.
Thank you.
It just took me a second. I was like, uh-oh, I'm supposed to recognize
this reference.
It's late.
It is late, guys. It's 11. So.
Caffeine's wearing off.
But MR some Biggins.
Yeah, those are some Biggins indeed. I'm gonna tell Goodell you need your butt spanked anyway. Miles Garrett, y'all, watch the Miles Garrett injury because
Bobby's just now good.
Yeah, it took him a second, but he got there. Thought he was laughing about Miles Garrett being out. I was like, this is not funny. My madness team is going to fall off a cliff.
It was a mix of me getting it and also still thinking about Goodell just
just paddling it.
Just wearing that hind end out.
Blistering that
Adam at the draft. Adam, how'd you get here?
I'm just grinning the whole time.
Yeah, just way too into it. the Rams, I mean, it's these edge rushers, these both guys, rookies, Kobe Turner and Byron Young.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. Aaron Donald there as well. John Johnson really hasn't been usable for IDP, but Ernest Jones, yeah. I think I know he hit the over on the tackle
it.
Prop. So
I think it was
that's
like
good.
8.5, and I think he was at like he had that at halftime.
I think he did. Yep.
Yep.
That's a little of the knock for me with Ernest. The big plays have not really been there this year. It's kind of been a bummer. He's been solid for the tackles, but that's really been the floor for him.
That is, it's a good discussion, I think. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Ernest in Dynasty?
Is he someone
that you really trust? Like, really trust? And I don't think I do.
I feel like he's trending more towards the Tremaine Edmonds type in Dynasty. And I know Tremaine had way more of, like, draft capital and everything. But we kept waiting for big plays to kind of come with Tremaine, and they never did. You know, you could count on him for some solid tackle weeks. He wasn't going to put up a zero for you, but... yeah, man, it's just with 100% snap share from Ernest, the breakout season has been good. It's just not been great.
Lately, it's been tough.
Sure.
You know, I think since the injury, it's kind of a good point. It's kind of dampered.
But even pre-injury, there just wasn't a whole lot of pop.
So the Rams are slated to have about $46 million in cap space. Mm. Could we see them go get a linebacker?
Yes.
To play alongside Ernest Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did just last year.
Yeah.
With Bobby Wagner. Cut him because they had to take their medicine and kind of do a soft rebuild
last year,
this year.
This is Ernest's third year in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at where that team is, I think – this offseason, they're going to be like, what do we need to address more than anything? It's going to be this defense. We need to completely overhaul this defense because the offense really isn't that bad. I mean, you're a couple pieces away. I mean, Kyron Williams looks like one of the best running backs in the league.
He really does.
I mean, we know about Puka. We know about Cooper still. I think Cooper's going to be fine. I think he just kind of hobbled this year. So I expect him to be really good next year.
And Stafford says that he's not going anywhere. Says he's still playing football.
Yep.
I think if this team improves, I wouldn't blame him for wanting to stick around.
What do you do with the vet pieces, though? What do you do with Donald? You continue just paying Donald?
If you're trying to gear up and make a run for the playoffs, you keep him and Stafford around as long as they want
to
be there.
I think you use that $46 million to do that. You make Matt Stafford happy. You make Aaron Donald happy. Aaron, how can we improve this defense? Matt Stafford, what can we do to protect you on the offensive line?
$46 million. They're 12th in cap space. Well, that is a significant amount of money.
And you talked about how many, you know, IDPs are going to be free agents this offseason.
Oh, dude.
It is a smorgasbord of talent.
That's why it's like, I mean, I think this offseason, maybe more than ever, you need to be willing to just sell pieces just because things can change so quickly.
They are going to change.
Don't worry about what your team looks like in February.
Cash out. Exactly. Yeah. Cash out now. Mm-hmm. You know, build your team with these scrubs the landmans.
Yeah.
Landmans. You know, those types.
Birdman!
We do have the Saban drop. I found it. I can't put it on the board mid-episode, but we do have it.
Okay. That's really
good. It was in the archives, yeah.
It's been a good board episode. It's nice to have the board back.
The board is back.
It's been utilized.
In a big spot.
Let me talk to y'all about some of the Chiefs and Packers IDPs before we get out of here.
I got them pulled up as well.
All right, so on the Chiefs side, we had the leading tackler tonight, Justin Reed, with 9 solos and 10 total tackles. Jack Cochran, the replacement for Drew Tranquil. You need to pay attention to that because Drew Tranquil looked really out of it. Cochran had 9 solo tackles and 2 TFLs. The impressive sacks on the night for the Chiefs, Mike Dana actually had another sack, and then Charles Omenihu had one as well. No interceptions, no fumbles to be had. And then on the Green Bay side of the ball, Quay Walker, 4 solo tackles with 13 total. Corey Ballantyne with a B for 5 solo tackles, 10 total. Kenny Clark had a half a sack. Rashawn Gary had a half a sack. Lucas Van Ness siding with 1 sack. And Preston Smith with a half a sack. And then Devonta Wyatt with a half a sack as well. Jonathan Owens, pretty solid game there, 5 solo tackles. And then Keyshawn Nixon, 3 solo tackles, 5 total. And he actually had a couple decent he had an interception for 2 yards, and then he had 2 kick returns for 60 yards and also was doing punt returns. So last week he actually got taken off of that. I don't remember who they put back there.
Okay.
So I got caught with a goose last week. But anyways, what are y'all's thoughts here?
Jonathan Owens came back to earth, only 6.25 points this week, 5 tackles.
And you thought against that Kansas City offense that Owens was going to be running everywhere.
Exactly. Kind of thought it was going to be a great game for him. I mean, the previous 4 games, he had racked up 36 tackles over that stretch. So, yeah, it seemed like a good spot for him. Quay Walker, nice to see him kind of have, you know, a decent game, 13 tackles. That's solid. Keyshawn Nixon, another good game. 21.55 points this week. He had a pick and 5 tackles. Good to see Lucas Van Ness get a sack. He's been really quiet this year. Yeah.
He heard us talking about him.
Yeah.
Saying, is the other guy there, Carl Malone, Carl Anthony Towns.
Oh, Minnehue?
Carl, no. It was their 6th round pick.
Colby, no. Carl Brooks.
Carl Brooks.
That it? Yeah.
I think so. You were just saying he was playing well, and I said, are you worried that he's outproducing Lucas Van Ness? And
we said no, though, right?
Yeah, Van Ness responded.
Yeah, Carl Brooks. Yeah, 1 tackle this week. So,
come on, Carl.
It's over for Carl.
It's Jover.
Carl.
Rashawn Gary came back down to earth. Looks like just 8 points. Preston Smith, 7 points. Jonathan Owens, 6 points. It was kind of a down game in terms of IDP scoring.
Yeah.
Chris Jones got himself a sack. I don't know if you mentioned that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Chris Jones has been solid once again this year.
Them Chiefs really need Nick Bolton back. That's what I'm learning. Drew Tranquil would have been fine if he had stayed, you know, in this game. I think that would have helped out a little bit. But that Chiefs defense doesn't look right now. Something's broken there. Ain't working.
Who's the best team in the AFC? Is it the Dolphins?
Let's do this real quick.
Because I like the Dolphins, but what happens when they get punched in the mouth?
Let me give you the rundown. So on both sides of the playoffs right now, 1 seed on the AFC, the Dolphins, NFC Eagles, 2 seed Ravens, 2 seed Niners, 3 seed Jaguars, 3 seed Lions, 4 seed Chiefs. Wow, I can't believe they're still in right now. 4 seed Falcons, 5 seed Steelers and Cowboys, Six seed Colts and Vikings. So congratulations to you all.
Thank you very much.
And then seven seed Browns and Packers.
Congrats to you.
Both teams out right now. Texans, Broncos, Rams,
Seahawks. You realize the Colts and Texans play week 18. That game has not been set yet. They could flex that game into Sunday Night Football it is a win and end for either team.
Also out.
We'll be live streaming that if that's what happens.
Oh, my God. I would not put myself in that situation.
10 seed in the AFC right now, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they're not making it, man. Their schedule is brutal. Yeah. It's one of the toughest schedules. I think it is the toughest schedule to finish out the season. So, Bills are not making it in. Bengals aren't making it in. I mean, trust me when I say, I think this Colts team is an overachieving, mediocre team.
Yeah, Minshew's not great.
But I will be placing a healthy wager on them to cover whoever they play. I'll be in Vegas, rooftop pool, watching it. So, why not?
We got 5 weeks left?
YOLO. We got 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 5 weeks.
So, Bills got it. They got to, you know, run it. They got to go 5-0.
If they run the table, yeah. But, I mean, do we trust this team to run the table?
Yeah.
No. I think they're out.
Milano going out hurt them.
Also, Von Miller now in some trouble.
Yeah.
He's been ass this year anyway.
He just hasn't played.
Yeah. Well, he's recovering from, I mean, he's 34.
Yeah.
Recovering from, was it ACL or Achilles?
We had a ACL. I think it was ACL. We had a couple older edge rushers in him and Chandler Jones that just, Chandler Jones is fighting his own demons. Including that one in the mirror. But, it's just been a weird year for some of these veteran edge rushers.
I think the mentality that I have sometimes going down the stretch here is if you got teams in playoff contention with studs on them, those are the ones that I'm really trusting and relying on. If not, you've got some of these landmans that are playing for the Falcons that are playing for nothing. That's kind of who to rely on for, you know, some of those scrub teams. Because there's weird narratives. Weird narratives with teams coming out of the bye, and then there's weird narratives with teams down the stretch. They do some strange things. We're liable to see some Deion Henley and some Josie Jewell.
It gets so much harder to thread the needle at the end of the season because you have injuries and you have teams that are changing their priorities as we get near the end of the season.
Yeah.
So you have guys in full, let's see what we've got mode, you know, different teams are giving guys opportunities, looking to the future. Guys are getting hurt. I mean, it's just
weird,
like,
weather.
Yeah, the weather was wacky today. The Steelers game got delayed because it was a literal monsoon there. So make sure you're paying attention to waivers. Make sure you're paying attention to the injuries. And make sure you're paying attention to, like, cornerback streamers. I mean, this is the time of year where you need every single advantage you can get. So don't leave any meat on the bone, Bobo.
It feels like the type of year, too, to where you're going to have some weird AVG starts. Like, am I really going to start Van Ginkle?
This point in the season, you are starting.
Just don't get
some really weird names.
Yeah.
You may have a Devin Bush, AVG, PJ Locke kind of starting lineup next week that you never could have envisioned week one, but this is what we do.
Yep.
We survive and advance.
That's right.
Like Johnny the Greek always says, you're going to have to cut my head off to kill me.
It's like, looking at your dynasty team in May and June is like, yeah, look how sexy this is. And then week eight, you're just like, oh, my gosh.
It's like
starting who?
Exactly. It's fun to win the offseason, the on-paper roster stuff, but it don't matter much come week 12, week 13.
Yep. The teams that often win the championship are the ones that
get hot.
Just paid attention to waivers. Stream their corners well. Mm-hmm. I mean,
get complacent. Even if you're like starting off the season well, like if you start off on fire, you're 6-0. You can't put it in cruise control and think I'm good. Like,
exactly.
You got to stay with it and constantly be thinking about how do I make the back end of my roster
churn it, baby.
You know? So that's what we're here to do for you. You know, I think if you've listened to this show, if you follow the website, if you lock in with us, we're going to get you there.
That's right. This week, we have a great week coming up for you all. I will be on Talking Waivers with Jeff Pomazol, who writes the waiver article for our website tomorrow night. And then we have a ranking episode with Matt Donnelly of Dynasty Vipers. We'll be talking to Jace about week 14 rankings. And then did I mention the fantasy playoff lineup we have for that show? So we have John Norton, we have Matt Schauff, and we also have John Macri. So make sure you tune in, folks, because we are going to get you right for the playoffs. That is what it's all about. You get in the dance, and then you see what happens, and we're going to get you right. And then also, the Big Three will be back on mic on Thursday with the last IDP trade show of the season. So whether you're trying to make a push or you're looking ahead to next year, we're going to talk through all of your trades. So we'll be sending out a prompt for trades. Addy, I'm sure you've got some in the trade show DMs that we can pull from. But that's going to be a lot of fun. So drop by. We'll probably start up during Thursday night football. And it's an awful Thursday night football game. Sure. I think it's Steelers-Pats. Let's just come. Everyone come watch the IDP trade show as opposed to Thursday night football.
Yeah.
Al Michaels might literally just throw himself off the balcony.
Who is it? What's the game?
It's Steelers-Patriots.
Oh, my God.
I'm pretty sure.
Bailey Zappi.
Zappi
versus Mitch.
Battle of the backup quarterbacks. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure that's a Thursday night game.
I don't know, though. I mean, do you let Zappi get another start?
No, you don't.
He looks
so
bad
it'll be
today.
Mac.
And, no, I think it'll be Malik Cunningham.
Oh, wow.
So
Mac Jones is done there, right?
Yeah, he was the emergency quarterback. Damn, he was the third string emergency quarterback.
Poor Bailey.
That class, boy.
Yeah, it's not turned out well at all.
Mm-mm.
So, who was that?
All of them.
Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence was the only one.
Trey Lance, Justin Fields.
Yep.
And even Trevor has not been like.
He's been decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, tune in. The trade show. What else do you have to watch? The Thursday night game is going to be awful.
How many hours a day do you think y'all think about Macri?
Probably over under 6.5.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
So if you've been thinking about him as well, tune in for week 17.
I missed that guy.
We will have him on to get you right for rankings that week.
He's hot.
So,
yeah,
he is hot.
Guy.
He's hot right now.
Great golfer.
Thank you all for tuning in. If you like the show, theidpshow.com. Check us out over there. Leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts and a 5-star rating on Spotify. Really, really helps us out.
And follow me on Twitter because I love Twitter.
He does tweet all the time. And then YouTube.com/@theidpshow. We've got the Sunday morning live stream. Jake and Jeff have been crushing it over there. We'll have the IDP trade show. We'll be a live stream, so you come check us out. And just lots of good stuff. Shorts are going up every day. It's a good place to be. YouTube.com/@theidpshow. Like I said, we will be back on Thursday with that episode, and I'll be back tomorrow night with Boo Bam talking waivers. So we're not gonna abandon y'all here down the home stretch. We're going to be with you every step of the way, folks. So until then, enjoy the football, and we'll see y'all soon.
We'll never leave you. It feels so right.